Is it moving?
Mm-hmm. Today is May 8th, 1984. My name is Tika Ward. I am interviewing Rose Perot of 4815 South 6th Street, Louisville, Kentucky. Our topic is Lou Tate and the Little Loom House. As we begin, please tell me something about yourself.
The present time?
Yes.
I'm retired from the telephone company where I worked for 40 years, and I've been retired 10 years. So I'm active in senior citizen groups and love to go as much as I can.
I understand that you are a charter member and the present secretary of the Hobby Weavers of the Ohio Valley.
Yes, I am. And just now I'm getting out notices for our next meeting, which will be in May the 26th. And we have rented a kit, slide kit, from the Hand Weavers Guild of America. It's on placemats. And we expect to learn some more about weaving. We never seem to get all we could know about it.
When did the Hobby Weavers begin?
Hobby Weavers began in 1951, and because we will celebrate our 30th anniversary in 80. Hobby Weavers began in 1956, and we have been active all of these years. We've always had good programs and outstanding speakers, workshops, trips and travels to various places to meet the weavers in other parts of the country. We were out-of-state members of the Indiana Weavers Guild for a good many years. And every year we were entitled to go to their meetings twice. And we met them and exchanged programs with them, and they exchanged programs with us.
I understand that you were a former student of Lou Tate.
Well, let's begin with my beginning with Lou Tate. My mother, I love her, and God bless her, she was my introduction to Lou Tate. She didn't know Lou Tate, but she had read about her and heard about her. And so one evening after we'd finished our dinner, after I'd come home from work and we'd finished our dinner, and it was in the winter time, I know, because it was cold and it was dark, and we went out to Kenwood Hill. We didn't know the way, but we found the road that went up the hill, and it was a narrow dirt road, and I don't know if we'd met another car, one of us would have had to back up, but in those days there wasn't that much traffic on the hill, and the road dead-ended at Lou Tate's road to her cabin. We stopped when the road ran out, and Lou Tate stuck her head out the door and wanted to know what we were doing on the hill and what we wanted. And so, shouting across the distance, I said, "We're looking for the lady who teaches weaving." And so she invited us in. And that introduction was the beginning of many, many years of pleasure and joy and learning.
She stuck her head out.
Oh, well, then we negotiated, and I began my lessons with her. And this was the period shortly after her mother's death, and she had not fully moved to the Little Loom House herself. She came out there and taught weaving and sometimes stayed overnight, but mostly she went back to her home on 3rd Street. And I took some of my early lessons at the Little Loom House, and some of them I went into her home on 3rd Street. The number, I believe, was 1825 or something like that. Well, it wasn't too long until Tate. And you can find people who will call her different names, like Lou Tate, Miss Tate, and just plain Tate. And judging the period of when you started out there, you can associate what name she was being called at that time. Anyway, I went out there on Saturdays, and I know it was cold weather when I started, because we would have to start a fire. We had coal stoves, and I went out there. I went out one Saturday, and I got there before Tate did, and I had to start the fire myself and put a paper and a little kindling wood and a few little small pieces of coal on the, and got it started, and then you put heavier wood and coal in the stove and waited for the heat to penetrate and make it warm for you. My first piece was a rose path, and I thank Tate for all her knowledge about it, because she had me to sign my first piece of weaving. And the reason she did it was to test some of her other weavers, or to test them against me, or me against them, because they had woven coverlets. And the worst part of their experience was they didn't want to sign them because it was too hard to sign. And I came out with my piece signed, and she was as proud as punch of me. And I was always proud of having my first piece. And I looked for it before you came, but I couldn't find it.
Oh. Now, when you say you signed it, you mean you had to write your name?
Well, Tate prepared the draft, and it was 19 1941. And so it's up to me to remember that it was in the early part of 41. Tate always was planning ahead, and of course she had weavers who came during the day, and the day weavers rarely ever met the night weavers, except like at shows or parties or something like that. And I traveled a lot with Tate. She took programs out in the state. She went to Fort Knox during the war, and went into, I don't know what department that was, but anyway, got the soldiers interested in weaving. And then she also left the young people from the Great Lakes Naval Training come to Kentucky during the Derby, and gave them the use of what we have always known as top house. It was fixed more for a residence than the rest of the, except the little loom house. Tate lived there and fixed her quarters down there. But the young people came, and they had a great time using that top house, free of charge, I'm sure. And they went to the Derby and had a great experience here in Kentucky. Also, during the period of the war, she gave a party one weekend, and we went up and down the ridges in the hill and collected the metal that had been disposed of and thrown in the along the, and we picked that all up and turned it in for the what did they call that during the war?
I know it wasn't, was it scrap metal?
It was scrap metal, uh-huh. And so we had a great time doing it. It was fun and just a real pleasure to take part in that. Then we went out in the state. I know we went to a place called Mark Cumberland, and I don't know if it's still there or not. It was planned to be a bird refuge. And we took, and weavers from Louisville went down, and weavers from all around the area came, and we had a meeting there. I know we were there more than once. It was down near Richmond. I remember so well, because Tate got up and went to church with me, and she always saw that I got to church on Sunday no matter what. And when we went in church, they took up the collection shortly after we got there, and I said, well, Tate, we got there on time anyway, because we didn't miss the collection. Okay. Another time I can remember that we went to Natural Bridge, and we stayed overnight there, and weavers came, and also we had a state, more or less, of a state weavers meeting. Tate had tried to organize a state weavers guild, but because of distance and so forth, and problems and other issues, I think, it did not develop as Tate had hoped it would. Another time I can remember that we went to Chicago on a train. The train that we went up there on was cold, miserable as it could be, and the walls in the train sweated, and we almost got wet inside of the train. But this was to attend a meeting of the Colonial Coverlet Guild. They were very well organized and had annual shows of coverlets. They had a banquet and all everything that went with this meeting. They had it. And Lou Tate and her brother Wood and I went, and we met a friend of Tate's at, her name was Daniels, her last name, I can't think of her first one, but, and she was a teacher at Hull House. It was a settlement school, and she saw that we got to eat at a Chinese restaurant, and we learned to use chopsticks. So that was something I remembered so well from that trip. Then another time, there was a guild, and it was at Fort Wayne, Indiana. I met in the museum there, and it was a coverlet guild, a coverlet exhibit. And those people brought coverlets. I believe they crawled out of the walls because they were coverlets and coverlets and coverlets. And you name it, we saw it. And it was just a delightful meeting. One thing was to see so many beautiful, well-preserved, old coverlets. And the other was to meet the many interesting people and their enthusiasm for weaving. And for Lou Tate, for meeting Lou Tate and getting acquainted with her knowledge.
And sharing knowledge.
And sharing.
Did they share knowledge?
Sharing, yes. That's always been was always one of Tate's theories, to share what you knew.
And then the other people would.
I can recall when we went to the Louisville Public Library on York Street, and began a file of people's names and addresses, and this was to help Tate to distribute her publication, The Kentucky Weaver, which this was a monthly publication, and Lou Tate and Wood and I would go to the library and go through books and files and pick up the names of individuals that she was particularly interested in. And we did that for months and months and months. And that was one of the assignments that I worked on. Then, all this time, different weavers out in all over the country heard of Lou Tate, and they would have a particular group of drafts that they could not work out, and they would bring them to Tate, and her extremely good knowledge of drafts and so forth, she would figure them out and give them to the weavers, set up looms, and we would be what she called guinea pigs on doing the pieces. And she would use the color, texture, in just every phase of weaving and working out these drafts. And one particular one, which is so familiar to us because the hobby weavers of the Ohio Valley have had numerous programs and projects on this, Ada Dietz and her friend Ruth Foster were from California. Ada was a teacher, mathematics teacher, and she brought what she called algebraic expressions, where an algebra equation was like A plus B squared was figured out, and a thread was represented each of those of the equation as it was written out in full. When Ada and Ruth came from California, they had a little trailer, a pull-along, and they called it tag-along. And she carried a loom in that trailer and worked on weaving as they came across country. So she had her idea and gave it to Tate, and Tate expanded it and finally made a publication called Algebraic Expressions. And we, who were weavers out there at the time, did the guinea pig weaving on that. And like I say, there were many other weavers who brought their drafts, their ideas, and so forth to Tate, and she would expand them, and we would do the experimental weaving on them.
I would like to ask you, how did the Dietz and the other woman find out about Tate? Just through correspondence, or?
That has debated me now. I don't.
Is one of the reasons they came across country was to meet with Lou Tate?
To meet with Lou Tate, uh-huh.
And then they had something attached to their car.
A little trailer, very small, and just one of the original type of little trailers that you just probably, they did their meals and they slept in it and things like that.
But they had a little loom in it too.
Yes.
Was it a Lou Tate little loom, do you think?
I couldn't say for sure,
but it was a little loom.
Very likely it was a little floor, a little table loom of type.
And so they came out here to meet her.
Yes.
And as a result of that, the publication.
The publication, and then I was fortunate that I hadn't heard from Ada for so long, and somehow or other I came across her address, and I sent her a card, and she immediately wrote back, and we exchanged our memories, and then I didn't hear from her, and I got worried about her, and I called Ruth Foster and found out from her that Ada had died. And so, because I guess I expressed such an interest in algebraic expressions, I got a box full of Ada's weaving.
Made from the algebraic?
Made from her idea. So I felt extremely honored that I could be the recipient of something like that. And that's how the hobby weavers of the Ohio Valley have worked so much just recently on algebraic expressions.
You've taken those.
And we've had exhibits, we sent one around the country, we have sent our a set of samples to Hand Weavers Guild of America, and we have made a slide collection so that when and if the actual samples ever are dispersed or disposed of, and I hope they'll never be disposed of, I hope somebody will take them and cherish them. We will have a slide collection in our library.
How long ago was it that you received all these?
Ada died in 1980, so it was at the time that she died that I received the samples.
When Lou Tate was doing these publications, who helped her write them and type them? And
various ones. Sometimes I would do those mimeograph. I didn't do too much typing. I, I would do some of those drawings on the mimeograph and various ones, but Tate did most of it herself.
Typed it up and wrote it.
Typed it and did the drawings and just everything. We did work on collators. She had little machines to collate them, and we did things, anything we could do, we did.
And then she used the names that you all were collecting in the library
to advertise her book and to get subscribers. And so, besides our working so closely with weaving, we did a lot of just plain old, we called it dirty work. We washed windows, we scrubbed floors, we cleaned out the leaves from drainage ditches, and I helped plant rose bushes, and you name it, we did it.
All of
and this brings up this is what the we had this University of the Little Loom House Lumitics graduate school. And I don't know whether to read all this or not.
It's a diploma, and it's something that...
And it was a degree awarded, a master of all work, together with all rights, work, responsibilities, privileges, and honors, which appertain thereto in recognition of satisfactory fulfillment of work pertaining to the Little Loom Hat, dated this second day of June, 1956, and signed by Lou Tate, director of the Little Loom House, and Sam Kendrick, chairman of the executive board. Quite an honor.
In addition to the diploma, there's also a photograph which was taken.
This is a picture of the class.
And tell me the names of the class members, starting at the top, working from the...
left to the right. Well, this man is Dan Peterson, and this is Lou Tate, and this is Hulsman was his last name. Down here we have Mrs. Hulsman, and Sue Kendrick, Peggy Lumpkin, Rose Pirro, and Doris Tipton. There is one lady on this picture, the extreme left-hand side, and I do not recall her name at this time. Getting up here to Mr. Peterson, he was director and teacher at the Louisville School of Art when it was located on South First Street. And we held a good many meetings with them. Out of our association with them, the beginning of the Louisville Craftsmen's Guild came into being. And that is still in existence today. In fact, they meet at the Water Tower monthly. So we had many, many good relationships with the Louisville School of Art. And when they had speakers or workshops there, we were privileged to attend them. So not only did we benefit through our with weaving through our association with Lou Tate, we were introduced to art and other forms of art and craft.
All the people pictured here then worked on keeping the Little Loom houses in good shape.
We did something. We either did weaving or... Now, Sue did... Sue Kendrick did probably a good deal or most of Tate's typing. And as she's told me last few years, that she didn't really get to do much weaving because she was always called on to do the typing that Tate had for her to do. Doris was a daytime weaver, Doris Tipton, and I didn't meet her for a good many years after I started weaving. I don't remember how we got together. It was probably through a party or some affair that Tate had planned. So,
I notice you all have on hats.
Oh yes, they were there. Like all graduates, we had to have a hat. And it was made out of heavy cardboard and paper with a mucilage paper, and it had gold textured thread, a bunch of it, put around that paper was fastened down on the cardboard, and then this thread was put around that paper, and then a tassel was made, and it was a graduate's cap.
Did Lou Tate make these herself?
I believe she did.
I wonder why she didn't have on a hat.
Well, she was the teacher. As she said, here she was the director of the Little Elm House.
So she didn't need to graduate from it.
No.
Which of the cabins did you all do most of your weaving at?
Now, the actual weaving on the looms, we did in the top house. The cabin names, beginning at the top of the hill, was the top house. The middle cabin was Wisteria and the little loom house. And I did some weaving in Wisteria. There were floor model looms in that cabin, mostly. The little Lou Tate looms and small looms were in the top house. Tate did her experimental weaving. She kept loom or two down at the little loom house. But those two cabins were our principal work areas. We also taught the other weavers. Tate left us, who had woven out there, left us as teachers of the other weavers, the new ones who came. Doris Tipton and I were associate teachers at Nazareth College then. It's Nazareth University now. And we were left in charge of classes that Tate taught in there. Some days she would let us take the class. It was an evening class. And we would go in after our day of work on our own jobs. We would go in there and teach this weaving class. And a lot of those girls became good weavers. Not through so much of our effort, but because Tate was so dedicated, she wouldn't let them be anything else but. And very often I would come home and Tate would come by my house and pick me up, and we would go in together. Sometimes I'd go right over from my work, which was downtown, out to Nazareth College.
I wanted to ask you about going up to Third Street. You said you did do some weaving there.
Yes, this was during the transition period, I guess you would say. Sure, and I think I've read this in some of the earlier times of Tate, that her mother and father were responsible for her buying out on the hill and converting these cabins into weaving, to a weaving center. And of course, she received publicity about it, and that's how my mother learned about it, is the publicity that was always favored Tate. They always favored Tate with some sort of a article when she got started on a project. I didn't go too much into the house on Third Street, however, because like I said in the early part of the transcript, I went out to the Little Loom House on Saturdays. And I'm sure I neglected my own home many times. Maybe I should have cut the grass or something like that, but it waited for another day. Tate used to have get-togethers many times out on the hill, and I can't remember them all, but here I have evidence of, it must have been an award program, because this is a cup made by Mary Alice Hadley. On the front of it, it has the Little Loom House, and on the back it has Lou Tate Award, 1953, Rose Pirro. And she had one of these made for almost all of the old weavers who had been out there for so many years. And then she had a set of them when she entertained out there, these were the coffee cups or the teacups or whatever the beverage was. And I was so proud that I got to keep mine. She may not have had two of them made. She might have had one and kept it, period. But I'm real proud that I got mine. And